the believer in that regard is a peacemaker. Now, the Lord Jesus makes the believer a peacemaker by continually teaching us how He made peace. Did you hear that? The believer is made a peacemaker by continually being taught through the Spirit of God in the heart how Christ has made peace. That's what makes us to be a peacemaker. And I'm going to come to that towards the end. I'm going to show you what I mean by that. But first, I want to talk to you about how Christ made peace. Happy are the peacemakers, for they shall be called the children of God. Now, Christ Jesus the Lord is the great peacemaker. He is the great peacemaker. In Isaiah 9:6, He's called the Prince of Peace. And the verse 7 of that same chapter says, of the increase of His government and peace, there shall be no end upon the throne of David and upon His kingdom to order it and to establish it with judgment and with justice from henceforth even forever. The Hebrew writer spoke of Melchizedek, and Melchizedek was that great type of Christ, our Melchizedek. And His name by interpretation is King of Righteousness and King of Salem, which is King of Peace. Now, turn over with me to Colossians chapter 1. Colossians chapter 1. In verse 19, this is the only way that a sinner knows anything about peace and what peace is. We're not talking about peace as men define it. We're talking about peace as God defines it. Now, Colossians 1:19, and you'll hold your place here because this will be the bulk of our study this morning. In Colossians 1:19, it says, it pleased the Father that in Him, in Christ Jesus, the Son of God, should all fullness dwell. And having made peace through the blood of His cross, by Him to reconcile all things unto Himself. By Him, I say, whether they be things in earth or things in heaven. Christ Jesus, the Lord, made peace through His death on the cross. Now, the word reconciliation means that there had to be some peace made. God's children had to be brought back into peace with God. It's not a reconciliation of God to men. God didn't sin. God can't sin. It's a reconciliation of men to God, of God's elect to God. We're the ones who transgressed against God. We're the ones who sinned against God. His holy justice is offended, and we have to be reconciled to Him. So satisfaction is what's talked about in this word reconciliation. Satisfaction for the sins of God's elect had to be made to God in accordance with God's holiness. It pleased the Father that in Christ, the Son of God, should all fullness dwell. Now, God is the God of peace. That's His name. He's the God of peace. God knew what a state of hatred and rebellion His children would fall into in Adam. It was part of His purpose of glorifying His name, of bringing honor and glory to Him. Before the world began, the triune God, God the Father, God the Son, and God the Spirit, held a council of peace. The triune God entered into a covenant of peace. And the work of being a peacemaker, of bringing about peace for His people, was given to the Son of God, to the Lord Jesus Christ. Zechariah 6:13 says, He shall build the temple of the Lord. He shall bear the glory, and shall sit and rule upon His throne. And He shall be a priest upon His throne, and the council of peace shall be between them both. Therefore, the Lord God, because this council of peace, this covenant of peace was entered into before the world began, the Lord God says He knows His thoughts No matter what his children did, no matter how they sinned, what they fell into, he knows his thoughts towards his children. He says, I know the thoughts that I think towards you, saith the Lord, thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you an expected end. Now, God the Father gave his Son, his only begotten Son, to make this peace through the blood, through the death of his Son on the cross, on the cursed tree, dying that shameful death at Calvary. He gave his Son, and his Son entered into this covenant of peace to bring about this peace this way. And so here we read in Colossians 1:20, and having made peace through the blood of his cross, through death, through laying down his life on the cross, he reconciled all things unto himself. God was in Christ reconciling all things unto himself. Now, no man could, and no man ever can, bring about peace that Christ has made, or like Christ has made. He's man, made with the same nature as those he came to make peace for. And he knew no sin, therefore he's a fit sacrifice to offer himself to God in the place of his people. And he's God, and therefore he could draw near to his Father and make this peace through the blood of his cross. Christ Jesus effectually. You know what that word means, effectually? It means he did it. He accomplished it. We don't accomplish it. He accomplished it. Christ Jesus the Lord effectually brought about peace by his death on the cursed tree. He reconciled his people to God. He succeeded. He triumphed in accomplishing it. Now, here in Galatians 3:13, it says, Christ hath redeemed us from the curse of the law, being made a curse for us, for it is written, cursed is everyone that hangeth on a tree. So when he went to Calvary's cross, he who knew no sin was made sin for us, for those that God gave him before the world began in this council of peace, those toward whom God's thoughts have always been, thoughts of peace to give them an expected end. And Christ on the cross died under the wrath of God, paying the penalty that we owed. We owed death. We had, if a sinner dies outside of Christ, outside of faith in Christ, that sinner will suffer for eternity, because he cannot satisfy eternal justice. Christ satisfied eternal justice when he died at Calvary, when he suffered at Calvary. He satisfied eternity at Calvary for his people. And so then here in Colossians 1:21, it says, in you that were sometime alienated, cut off from God, separated from God by our sin, and enemies in your mind by wicked works. The mind and the heart was polluted. It was defiled. It was unbelieving. We were enemies in our mind by wicked works. Yet now hath God in Christ reconciled, in the body of his flesh through death, to present you holy. Christ effected this, to present you holy and unblameable and unreprovable in his sight. He is the maker of peace in the conscience. You see, you see it's interesting in our as we go through the Beatitudes. Blessed is he. Blessed is he. It's interesting to see how it starts with all these things that God effects in the inner man. We mourn because we've been made to see our sin. We're poor because we've been made to see we have no righteousness. We mourn because we see our sins against God. We hunger and thirst after righteousness because we want to be found in Christ, not having our own righteousness, but the righteousness which is of God, that righteousness of Christ. All of these things are the blessed are the pure in heart. This is that washing of regeneration, that renewing of the Holy Ghost, that sprinkling of the blood of Christ, that perfection, purifying through faith that God performs. This is what comes first. And then we come to this thing about the peacemaker. Blessed are the peacemakers. And here we see we were alienated and enemies in our mind by wicked works. So Christ the peacemaker, through the Holy Spirit, sprinkles this blood on the conscience. And now we have peace in our heart through this blood. We have peace in the church by Christ the peacemaker. If we have peace here, it's going to be by the glory and praise of Christ the peacemaker. If you are a peacemaker, if you've made a peacemaker and desire to see peace brought about between parties, offended parties, it's going to be because of Christ the peacemaker working in you. He said, "Peace I leave with you. My peace I give unto you, not as the world giveth, give I unto you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid." He gives peace. And that's why we read, "Happy are the peacemakers." Our happiness comes from Christ the peacemaker. Now, they shall be called the children of God. That's our happiness. We know because of what Christ has done for us and in us, we're children of God. This is what brings about this peace, is to be a child of God. And know we're a child of God. Now, I want you to see something here in this all fullness. In Colossians 1, 19, "It pleased the Father that in Him should all fullness dwell." Now, all the fullness, the glory of all God's perfections, all the fullness, the glory of all God's perfections are found in Christ, and in this way that He made peace. By God's own Son, through the cross, the fullness of God's grace and mercy are seen in Christ on the cross. We may not see it fully, but the fullness of His grace and mercy is in Christ on the cross. The fullness of God's wisdom, the fullness of God's power, the fullness of God, His faithfulness, is manifest in Christ the person through the work that He faithfully, wisely performed that brought about this power of salvation that He wrought. The fullness of God's righteousness, of Him being just and the justifier, the fullness of His holiness, His holy love, His holy mercy, His holy grace, His holy long-suffering, is all holy. That's the first character, the first perfection of God, holiness. And it's all seen in Christ on the cross. In God the Son, in Christ Jesus our Lord, in His sacrifice, in His suffering, in His death, all the fullness of peacemaking is manifest. So what does that tell us? What does that tell us? If the believer ever has a question about the best way to make peace between two parties, you know where we need to go? We need to go to Christ at Calvary and behold how peace was made. How did He make peace? How did grace and mercy, the fullness of grace and mercy, how does it manifest? How's the faithfulness and wisdom and power of God manifest? How's His holiness and His righteousness manifest? Turn over to Philippians chapter 2. Just back to the left, one book from Colossians. Philippians chapter 2. And this is that desire, this is that fruit of peace and that desire to be a peacemaker that the Spirit of Christ creates in a believer. And here's where we find where this fullness is. This is right where Paul went, the Apostle Paul went, when he was showing the brethren at Philippi how to be peacemakers. This is right where he went, to Christ. Philippians 2:5, "Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation." It doesn't matter where the believer is, what station in life he is, if he's his office or the capacity he's in is higher than someone else, he knows that his Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, is God and equal with God. And yet he made himself of no reputation. He didn't come into the world with any kind of superior attitude toward anybody. He came in to the world and made himself of no reputation. And he took upon him the form of a servant. The form of a servant. This is how a peacemaker affects peace. He makes himself of no reputation. He takes the form of a servant. And he was made in the likeness of men. And being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient. This is obedience to God. In the likeness of men, being found in fashion as a man, he did what no man ever did. He did what no human being, no sinner ever did. This one who knew no sin humbled himself. He humbled himself and became obedient to God. I'm not talking about King David is a man that the Lord said he's a man after my own heart. But this one humbled himself perfectly. This one became obedient perfectly. Would you affect peace? Would you be a peacemaker? We make ourselves of no reputation. We take the form of a servant. And we become obedient. We humble ourselves and become obedient. Humility is something that is directly opposite to what we are by nature. Humility is something that by nature we're full of pride. We're going to see something of that today in our message. But humility, this is how we learn humility, by looking to Christ, by seeing and being taught of Christ what he did. And this obedience, brethren, is not just not only an obedience as he walked this earth, which he was. He was perfectly obedient as he walked this earth. This obedience was unto death. Even, not just any death, even the death of the cross. That is, this death involved being stripped, being beaten, being spat upon. It involved being mocked and made fun of. It involved bearing pain in his body. It involved going to a cross and being hung up where people just sat and stared at him. This obedience involved taking the place of God's people before the thrice holy God, bearing the wrath of God in their room instead, so that they could go free. This is something about that we see here. We see through a glass darkly, but we see here, this is how peace is made. I'm never going to make peace if I'm trying to make myself somebody. I'm never going to make peace if I'm trying to have other people serve me. I'm never going to make peace if I'm full of pride and haughty in spirit. Never going to affect peace if I'm disobedient and rebellious to God and rebellious and disobedient toward my brethren. I'm never going to affect peace if I'm not willing to bear the awesome, awesome burden that is my brother's or my sister's and bear it in their place and take it upon myself. It means laying down our life is what it means. That's what that's the peacemaking that the believer, born of the Spirit of God, filled with the fruit of peace, that's the desire that the inward man has. This is the law written on our heart. We want to be peacemakers. I want to do this. I want to do this. I see another law in my members. I know that I say things I shouldn't say. I know I treat my brethren like I shouldn't treat them. I know I'm lifted up in pride. I know I disobey my God. But this is what I want. This peace. I want to be able to be a peacemaker. Happy are the peacemakers. They're happy. The Lord told His disciples, He said, "He that is greatest among you, let him be as the younger, and he that is chief as he that doth serve." He that's greatest among you, let him be as the younger, and he that is chief as he that doth serve. Whether is greater, he that sitteth at meat or he that serveth? Which one's greater? The person that sits at meat. That's what the Lord said. Is it not he that sitteth at meat? But He said, "But I am among you as he that serveth." As he that serveth. And this is how He wrought peace for His people that will never, ever be taken away from His people. And this is the fruit of the Spirit whereby His people desire with everything they are in that new creation to be peacemakers. It's the fruit of the Spirit. It's the power of the Spirit, the power of Christ that causes a believer to mortify his flesh that he might humble himself and take the burden from his brethren. And when he does it, in those times when the believer doesn't do it, he mourns. He sees himself as poor in spirit. He mourns over his sin. He hungers and thirsts after righteousness and true holiness. He desires for God to create in me a pure heart, a clean heart. Lead me in the path of righteousness, Lord. And then in those times when the believer is able to deny himself, the believer is able to promote peace among brethren, he says, "Lord, thank you. To you, to God be the glory." He's the one that has worked this, doing in us what is well-pleasing in His sight. He's the one that works it. And this is what we long for always. And one day, brethren, one day, those who have this Spirit in them, because of the work of Christ Jesus our Lord, they'll be with God for eternity. And there'll be peace with all. Peace with all. Perfect peace. That's the happiness of a peacemaker. Happy are the peacemakers, for they shall be called the children of God. Okay.